I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. I've been reading Jonathan Narvey's stuff for a few years now. He says he was once one of the elite bloggerati in Vancouver. I still think he is. However, the scene's changed somewhat over the years. He reflects on this in a recent piece on his website. I blog, but I'm not a blogger. You can find that at jnarvey.com. I read it a few days ago, and I found it to be a thoughtful piece about the state of social media in this part of the world. Being a practitioner myself, having done this program online for over 8 years now, it's a good time to sit back, or as we're doing now, sit up and look back at, as well as look ahead. Mr. Narvey has graciously come over to talk about this piece, discuss blogging, blogs and blogging and more. Jonathan Narvey is a freelance journalist, website copywriter, and author. He is the founder of Right Image, a website copywriting services company. He also offers political commentary at The Propagandist. That's at propagandistmag.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in studio this morning, Jonathan Narvey. Mr. Narvey, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So you live in the neighborhood next door, I guess. That's Mount Pleasant?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've lived there for 7 years, right in the heart of Vancouver. It's good place to live.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about living in the city, that no matter where you live, you can live in Champlain Heights, you can live in Kits, you can live in Yaletown, wherever you are at the time, I think you think that that's the best place.
Well, this really is a city of neighborhoods,
yeah.
Which I really like, and that's also reflected in the kinds of online discussions we have. Like, people will sort of, you know, there's really distinct voices depending on even where you live in the city.
Yeah. This neighborhood that I'm in, Fraser and King Edward, I guess we call this Kensington or Cedar Cottage, it's a lot quieter than Main Street, I suppose. But a little less hip, I suppose. I think
Yeah, my neighborhood's become more of a, I guess, a hipster neighborhood. But not that I mind that. It's actually pretty quiet around where I'm, just on a corner of 10th and Manitoba. It's there's a little sign at the end of the street that says it's the most beautiful street in all of Vancouver, which I can't disagree with.
Yeah, it must be beautiful this time of year with all the trees and the leaves and the. I mean, to clean up, maybe it's not so good, but to look at.
Yeah, it's I just love walking around there. Yeah. It's a real pedestrian friendly neighborhood and city, really.
Do you ever have when you're walking around the city? I mean, do people recognize you because of the blog?
No, I guess I sometimes describe myself as internet famous.
Yeah.
So, you know, people may be aware of me. You're aware of me.
Yeah.
And other people who are doing cool stuff online may be aware of me. But I tend not to get recognized at events, so I can lurk if I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not a bad thing.
Yeah, but it is a pretty vibrant scene in this city, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, there's, in terms of, getting out to, like, meetups and things.
Yeah,
I've been at two this week. That's what I like about the overlap between, online, I don't know what you'd call them, online personalities and you know, real life. And the two go hand in hand. I think, you know, it's important to connect with not just your readers or your listeners, just, you know, people out there, get inspired. So,
yeah, I guess that's one of the reasons why I asked you to come in, is because I've been reading you for years, but I never met you. And this piece that you did on your website about, I already mentioned the title, I forgot it already. I blog, but I'm not a blogger. I guess there's a distinction there between blogging and a blog.
Yeah, and I think I was writing there about identity, how we see ourselves. I'm not saying that blogging being a blogger is something necessarily bad. It's not. It's just, you know, I feel like other parts of my life describe me better. So, for example, maybe a writer or a political pundit or a copywriter guy, something like that. And the reason is that when you call someone a blogger, you're sort of putting them in a bit of a box. which, you know, we all do. We all have to, you know, have little identification markers. Except that these days it seems a lot more meaningless to call someone a blogger. It's like calling someone a phoner or a faxer or an emailer. It's like, you know, everyone and his dog has a blog. If there's a writer in this city who, or any kind of you know, radio personality or storyteller, someone, maybe an artist, anyone doing any kind of creative work who doesn't already have a blog, I'd be very surprised, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty rare at this point.
Yeah. And sort of, if you go to popular culture, if you look at some of the sitcoms and movies, the term blogger has sort of taken, I guess, a bit of a hit, hasn't it?
A little bit. I think there was a Family Guy episode from that I saw a couple months back, and it was, I think it was Stewie being, you know, his own sanctimonious self, and something like, you know, I look forward to reading your blog, or you know, so it was something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was Family Guy. And it's, I guess, some people think that if you've got a blog, and maybe that's your only form of expression, maybe you're not really putting your efforts where they would, say, gain you more recognition. So, for example, if you are, you know, posting a blog post a day, or you know, doing a lot of podcasts, or, you know, doing a lot of stuff online where, let's face it, you know, not a lot of blogs are getting 50, 100 comments and, you know, hundreds of likes, and I don't even know what the, you know, what the value of that is anymore.
Yeah.
It's something. But, you know, most of us are getting two or three comments, a couple of likes. And I think, yeah, the you know, some people might say, well, why don't you spend your time elsewhere? Like, all that time you've been putting into the podcast and into the blog, and you could have been writing novels. You could have been, I don't know, going for whatever that job is that you want. You could have been, you know, doing something.
A newspaper column.
Yeah, something maybe that has a bit more panache,
traditional value, I suppose.
Yeah. But I think that it's a false dichotomy. Like, you know, people with blogs aren't trying to replace that kind of thing in their life. Like, typically, you've got you've got a bunch of irons in the fire, and blogging for me, anyways, and I think for a lot of people, is, you know, it's a creative outlet, something fun that we do, but it can also be a place for experimentation. So you know, I'm not a you know, professional broadcaster or anything, but I like doing podcasting from time to time. I think it's fun. Anyways, my main point in the article was, you know, not to demean blogging, because, you know, blogging is more popular than ever. People are, you know, expressing themselves in all kinds of formats. I think it's awesome. So it wasn't a kind of post where it was like, you know, blogging is going to, you know, it's hit its high point, it's all down from here. No, like, on the contrary, people who tell you that, you know, social media, Twitter, Facebook are going to replace blogs, I think that's silly, because actually all those things do is typically point back to the blog, which is the point of self-expression for whether you're doing creative writing or you know, local news or whatever. I think it's awesome that, you know, people are still blogging, people have multiple blogs, and yet, you know, I wouldn't, the first, if I was going to label someone, or if I was going to say, you know, Joe is, you know, is he a blogger? Am I a blogger? Is that, that it? That's all? It is... Yeah, a bit limiting. So I think that's what I wanted to get away from.
But the culture has changed in the city, hasn't it? I mean, you mentioned in the piece about these blogger meetups that you and various other bloggers would host in the city. I never went to one, but I remember reading about them online. Someone would post a photo afterwards or a bunch of photos and write reviews of the event and so on. So I remember seeing those or reading about those online. But you guys have seemed to, I mean, I know Raul's stopped blogging and he's moved away. Has the culture changed, do you think?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, that Vancouver blogger meetup, I doubt it will ever come back. And that's, you know, it's a good thing. And it's not good because I didn't like the events. The events were awesome. Like, I actually had a lot of fun. But, you know, it's fun. But the, you know, the whole point of it was, you know, provide a bit of education, but also we would... you know, we would have events, say, a fashion bloggers meetup, and then the next time would be the tech bloggers meetup, and then the next time would be the political bloggers meetup. Well, that doesn't make sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it did initially when the number of bloggers in this city, you could literally fit into a room.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of overlap because people had, either they would blog about multiple topics on their blogs, or they would... separate out their blogs and sort of focus on their interests in different ways. But now there's, I'm guessing, thousands of bloggers in the city. So maybe tens of thousands? I don't know. Thousands, anyways.
Yeah.
Things are so niche now. So now you have, instead of the Vancouver blogger meetup, you're going to have things like the tech blogger meetup, where they're always going to talk about technology, or... It wouldn't even have blog in the title. It would be just the, I don't know, Vancouver Historian Meetup. And maybe some of them are bloggers and some of them aren't. But, again, it's you're getting into points of interest, commonality. And, you know, we saw this happening even... It was starting even a few years ago. So, you know, people were going... choosing groups and choosing like on Facebook or they would choose groups on LinkedIn and so people all started sort of putting themselves in, I don't know that I'd call them silos, but you know, they would join different little hubs, and I think those are more appropriate than, you know, having a meetup where it's going to be pretty much a different group every time. Because with the Vancouver blogger meetup, we'd get fashion bloggers one time, and then, you know, politics bloggers the next, and there'd be very, very little overlap. So, you know, one thing you want in a group is continuity, right? You want to be able to develop with these people and you know, sort of see how they're doing and see what kind of cool stuff is going on. And when you're not getting the same people out, well, is it really a group in more than a name? So it wasn't. So, you know, and this isn't, again, to disparage the organizers. You know, I was one, and I think we put on some awesome events. But, you know, that time has passed. We've all sort of hived off into our various groups, and it's more about talking about what we want to talk about than about the technology.
What about, because the internet is, I mean, it is a pretty insular thing. It's something, I mean, I will read a blog by myself rather than have some other people, you know, hovering around reading it with me. They can do that on their own, and they can do it whatever time of day they want to do it. Is it important for the blogger to have that sort of social connection with other bloggers? I mean, to be a successful blogger?
I think to be a successful person, you have to, you know, you have to get out there. You have to meet groups and talk with people in real time. Reading a blog on your own is no different than reading a book on your own or watching a movie on your own. Even if there's someone in the, you know, you brought friends and the theater is packed, you're still ultimately watching that movie alone. There may be, you know, a million people who've read a book, but you're reading that alone. So it's the same with blogging, reading the blogs or listening to the podcast or whatever. You're usually doing it alone. But then afterwards comes the discussion. And you can discuss things online, but that discussion tends to be a little bit skin deep. And that's just the way it is. It's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, people tend to write short, snappy comments or like comments or whatever. It's very rare now that we see, like, essay-length comments below blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to talk to the people who are interested in what you're interested in, you have to actually talk to them in real life. I think it's there's no way around that if you want to develop, whether you're in doing something creative or it's sort of professional in that kind of zone. I guess to give you an example from my own life, I started blogging when I was, I think it was 2005,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't really until I started going to some of these meetups and meeting with other people and finding out not just how they're doing things on the technical side, but, you know, getting feedback about, ideas, sometimes related to stuff I'd written, sometimes related to stuff they had written or created that maybe I wasn't aware of. So, it's about social media can't just be online. You have to meet the people.
Yeah, and podcasting, do you still do that regularly?
It's from time to time. I'll podcast with my friend Shane Burley.
Shane and Monica, right?
That's right.
Yeah, but it had them on in June. That's a fun show, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And they're such great people. They're really good friends of mine, and just really creative people.
Yeah.
And again, it's getting back to, you know, with podcasting, typically you're face to face. I don't tend to do a lot of over the phone podcasts. So I actually prefer to be there because you can also see their body language and kind of react to that a bit better. And it's a fun thing. It's a, you know, different kind of outlet.
Yeah, I unfortunately there's not enough time. I mean, there's some great podcasts in the city. Shane and Monica's. I just found one in the last week, Talk Foolery, that I thought was quite good. There's West End Brunch. The problem is that I find is that they're about an hour long, some of them, and I having to do my own deal, it's impossible to have to, you know, to find the time to listen to everything. But when I do listen, like Shane and Monica's, it's just laugh out loud funny. I mean, I've heard you on there, and I mean, just talking about, I know we haven't had very many yucks here, and this is not sort of a yuck fest, but I greatly admire the chance to hear people talk about something that they saw on the SkyTrain or at the supermarket that, you know, that was idiotic or ludicrous. I mean, that's just my observation of it.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to let loose.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, blogging, podcasting, all this stuff is about. It's putting your personal spin on things. Again, that's differentiating it a bit from, you know, say, traditional newspaper writing. I mean, you simply wouldn't have those anecdotal kinds of, you know, hilarious things,
mm-hmm.
maybe hilarious for you.
Yeah.
And maybe your close friends, those things wouldn't show up in a magazine or a newspaper, and yet they have value. They're interesting. Slice of life, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I've heard I mentioned to you as you came in today, I've heard a couple of your podcasts, I guess some more serious ones, I suppose, you and Mike Klassen and Terry Glavin are talking about sort of serious political issues. Do you think there's enough of that online in this part of the world?
I think you can never have enough.
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, I do this, and I find that there isn't enough. I mean, whether it's authors or serious thinkers or whatever, and I think that's a shame that we don't have various voices in the city in that sort of vein.
Well, I think that's, you know, it's still going to increase because the technology has gotten so easy. Podcasting is so easy to do now. I don't think a lot of people realize,
mm-hmm.
Like, podcasting is where blogging was just a 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's going to be I think there's still going to be a lot of growth, a lot of people just wanting to talk, and so more voices the better. I think that's definitely going to grow.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you don't like to put ID markers on people or put them in a box, but if we looked at your other blog, the Propagandist, propagandistmag.com is the website, right? Would you say, if someone were to describe it, the sort of political view, the political bent, that's not a socialist blog, it's not a liberal blog, right?
It
leans right.
Yeah, that site has evolved, but ultimately, I think we've still stayed true to the vision of essentially being an anti-political correctness, pro-freedom,
right.
Kind of a place where writers of the right wing can come in, but also I call them thinking conservatives,
yeah.
And brass knuckle socialists,
yeah.
Can all come together, and so it's definitely is different from something like Rabble,
mm-hmm.
Which I think it would be tough to get some of the contributors from, say, the Propagandist of Rabble in the same room, I think it remains a project that I don't know that I would call it a right wing site, because we still do have writers from the left and the right, Terry Glavin being one of the most prominent writers from the left,
mm-hmm.
on the site, but definitely we have others as well. So it's I don't even consider myself to be a right winger. A lot of other people would, I think.
Yeah.
I think maybe it stems from where I come from in Manitoba. We had the Progressive Conservative Party, and that wasn't considered an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
That particular online magazine has a real range of voices. It's interesting stuff, and I think even there how do I identify that site? I don't even call it a blog. I call it an online magazine, because it blogger versus writer, magazine versus blog, what has more cachet, what's legitimate, what's true. So it is what it is.
There's some great writing on there.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Definitely. I'm not alone on there. I suggest listeners check it out for themselves and see what it's all about. It's a lot of the stuff we cover is sort of international politics, whether mm-hmm. it was the recent U.S. election or the Arab Spring.
Mm-hmm.
I do see a lot of political correctness in the media, whether it's, especially the CBC. I think good writers need an outlet that is, willing to push the boundaries a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a fun place for creative people to be.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you grew up in Winnipeg. Growing up there, or it doesn't matter where you grew up, I guess. Did you always want to be a writer?
I didn't know I wanted to be a writer till I was, I think it was in my third or fourth year of university. And maybe I had an inkling earlier on that that's where I was going to end up. But I started getting into journalism. I wrote a bit for the student newspaper, took a year after university and worked in a bookstore, and I had no idea really what I wanted to do with mm-hmm. my life, but I knew I didn't want to work in a bookstore for the rest of my life. So I was one of those guys, and there's a lot of us who sort of didn't have a goal in mind, which, you know, in retrospect, it would have been maybe better to have a bit more direction. But ultimately, you know, my career's meandered over the years, and that's maybe been a good thing for my development as a writer, because I've been exposed to different sort of walks of life, different kinds of work, different people that I'm working with. So that's been interesting. I've always been interested in politics, mm-hmm. From an early age, but this, the website copywriting thing didn't come till long after. And blogging happened, because I was actually in a low point as a writer. I'd been working as a journalist and a freelance writer for a number of years, and then went off to teach English in Korea for a year, came back, and I could not sell an article for the life of me. It couldn't be done. I was typing away, and nothing I wrote was any good, I guess. So as a sort of emergency valve, a steam valve, I got mm-hmm. into blogging, and that helped resurrect my writing career. It really opened up opportunities for writing, whether it was for journalism. I started writing magazine pieces again, or corporate writing. Or creative projects like The Propagandist.
Mm-hmm. And you write fiction. I mean, that's not a full-time job, I suppose. That's something that you want to do, right? Eventually, you'd like to write a novel. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I've written a few novels actually. Yeah. There's my first novel is A History of the Middle East Side, uh-huh. which is called a political gangs of New York kind of story. Sort of metaphorical history of the Middle East and Zionism, as imagined if the main players all lived in maybe the five boroughs in New York, kind of a setting. And then my second novel is The Detective versus the Slime Monster from Outer Space, which is a H.P. Lovecraft, Cthulhu mythos themed horror sci-fi kind of pulp detective mashup. If that means anything to you, then
you'll enjoy reading the book. And I guess people can get that online on a blog. They can read that, right?
It's not on a blog. They can actually order it online through like Barnes and Noble, Amazon. Okay. They can get either the ebook version or the like actual Dead Tree versions.
It's been really fun to meet you today, and I appreciate you coming in to do this.
Oh, thank you very much.
The website's jnarvey.com, propagandistmag.com, and then the other websites that you can see on from Jonathan's website. Jonathan Narvey joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.